I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The round of 64 is rolling along, and we need to talk to somebody that you get to hear from every day on Jason and John. That would be John Martin. He's on X at JohnMartin929, but he also is a college sports columnist at the Daily Memphian, and he is a host at the Field of 68. Apparently, he is listed. I'm looking at his X profile right here. He's a social media influencer. That's how he tags himself. But, John, what's happening, man? How are you?
Yo, what up?
Yeah, are you a social media influencer? I just saw this on your X profile. And I pull
Absolutely.
It up.
I influence social media every single day.
Okay. All right.
Visionary, influencer, you know what I'm saying?
Do you have any good endorsements via Instagram and via Twitter or X?
I influence social media. There's no question.
Okay, I hear you. Now, I want to start real quick. We're in March, of course, and here's Michigan State hammering Mississippi State. Mississippi State had no chance the entire game. I know that for Mississippi State fans that are in the audience, they are frustrated because it was never going to go their way. But we're going to have appointment television, seemingly, if North Carolina gets through, because we have Michigan State versus North Carolina. But, man, every time we get to March, here's Tom Izzo, regardless of how it looked like during the regular season, regardless of where they started and where they finished, they're always going to step up and play their best ball when they get into March.
Yeah, he's the all-time winningest coach in terms of winning as the lower seed or the higher seed, whichever way you want to put it.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a testament to how great he is. I mean, because when you're the higher seed, you're not supposed to win that much. That's the way the thing works. Now, I mean, obviously 8-9, you know, 51-49, 52-48, crazy things happen. But... Yeah. Yeah, I mean the guy is, you know, and he's navigated lots of different eras, and he's done it with lots of different type of teams. And I was not high on this particular Michigan State team, but now that they're here, and now that they've won it, it's like all that stuff doesn't matter. All, you know, how mediocre they look, the regular, it's all, they're 1-0 right now, and today they look like a top five preseason team.
Yeah,
and that's really all that matters.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like even when they lost to – who was it they lost to earlier in the year? I'm losing my mind.
James Madison.
They lost to James Madison. Even then, I said, you know, just drag and drop them as a higher seed in the tournament, and then I'll pick them from there. You can't pick against them come March. You can't pick against them in your bracket. It's just sort of how it works. Now, you need to holler at me about your chalky-ass bracket. Let's talk about it. I know you caught a little bit of flack for it, but you have 3-1 seeds and a 3-seed in your Final Four. You have UConn, Baylor as the 3-seed, Houston and Purdue. I like Purdue to make it to the Final Four, but then you have UConn versus Purdue and UConn winning it all. I think a lot of people are in that same category, although UConn is going to have a tough road of it. What made you get so chalky this year, even though it seems like we have a whole lot of parity year to year in college basketball?
I'm just bad at, like, foreseeing upsets, really. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just bad at it, generally speaking. Like, I know they happen. Especially in this tournament, but I'm bad at, like, picking when that's going to be. So every time a bracket, you know, comes out, I've never had a good one. Like, if a good year for me is having two of the four Final Four teams.
Right.
Like, that's a good year. Like, I can pick, you know, here and there. I'm like, get lucky, like, with a weird seed making a run. But by and large, I'm just not – I struggle. I just always think that, you know, the better teams do what they're supposed to do. And obviously they don't, but I'm just sort of conditioned to believe that. Now, in the case of this season, I do. I think there's a massive gap between, you know, the top of the field and everybody else. I don't really see that many, you know, once you get past the four line, maybe even the three line, I just don't see that many teams that can do this. I mean, this is not a year where there's, you know, a ton of, like, NBA talent scattered around college basketball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that. You don't have a random top 10 pick on an eight seed. It's mostly just, you know, average talent, average teams. So that's why I think the best teams will probably, you know, like 08. 08 was all four. 08 had a bunch of the NBA talent. You know, I think it probably looks a little closer to that than any other year.
Yeah. Do you worry about the East region, though, with UConn? I mean, it's the best region by far. You have Iowa State, who won the Big 12 tournament. You have Illinois, who won the Big Ten tournament. Auburn won the SEC tournament. You even have, like, going down the line, you have a San Diego State team who was in the national championship game last year. I know you're not high on FAU, but they were a Final Four team a year ago, and they managed themselves relatively well when they got in the tournament. That East region is brutal. Do you just think UConn is that much ahead of everybody else in that region where they're going to get through?
Yeah. I mean, they don't lose. So I think the team that got, you know, the rough end of the stick was Iowa State in that region. But,
yeah,
I mean, for the most part, I mean, UConn, who has UConn not beat? They beat North Carolina. They beat Texas. They beat Gonzaga. I mean, they beat Creighton. They you name it. I mean, they've beaten everybody. They beat Marquette twice. So I don't really know. Actually, three times, I think. Three times they beat Marquette. So, and there's just really, like, there's really no team that, like, Auburn's a very low IQ team.
Right.
I don't think people who have low IQs generally tend to do well in life. So why would I pick them to do well in a tournament? I don't think that's in the cards. So they're basically scot-free through to the Elite Eight. And then, you know, I think it's going to be a tough team for sure. Iowa State will be a tough team, no question in my mind, but I mean, I can't pick against UConn until they show me. They've just been so dominant. So I'm going to keep rolling, you know, with UConn until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, and Purdue is another team that doesn't lose. And I think a lot of people are just, like, recycling narratives from the past. And it's fair. Matt Painter, you know, he loses the big one. We understand that. But this year just feels substantially different. I think he got a good draw in his bracket. Tennessee is the two seed there. They've lost two games headed into the tournament. Kansas is struggling with injuries right this second. You just keep sort of looking at it. I guess Creighton looks solid in their round one game there against Akron. But at the same time, that's a team that seemingly falls short when they get into the tournament. But Purdue, like, it's just different than it was last year, right? I mean, when you look at their shooting numbers and their perimeter numbers and the guys that are playing on the perimeter outside of Zach Edey, they've gone from, what, 32% from three last year, which was way middle of the pack, if not bottom half of the NCAA. They've gotten that to 40% this year, and they were second in three-point percentage this year. It just feels substantially different. I feel like people are holding on to recycled narratives. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, it tends to happen, you know, because people don't really watch college basketball. So they just remember the last thing they saw, which for 90% of people is going to be last March. And they're just going to assume, oh, Purdue, they always do this. They always look great in the regular season, and they just piss down their leg in the NCAA tournament. And that has been true. At least it was last year. But, you know, I tell people this. When they lost to North Texas, I think it was in the second round. It might have been in the Sweet 16. I don't remember. One of the two. That coach is now at Texas Tech, killing it. He's doing a great job. He's a, you know, six seed, Grant McCaslin.
Yep.
So, you know, you ran into a really good coach who happened to be at North Texas. But, you know, it's just kind of unfortunate, kind of unlucky. And that's the beauty and the cruelty of the tournament, you know, is that you may run into that. You may run into that at a smaller school, and that coach may, Like, you know, imagine, you know, being a coach that ran into Chris Beard at Little Rock, right? Like, and I think they did, actually. So they've had really bad luck, man. They've had really bad luck in the NCAA tournament. And eventually, you do it long enough, your luck will turn.
Mm-hmm. Talking with John Martin at JohnMartin929 on X. I know you say you're not good at picking upsets, but where are you looking for a potential like high seeded upset? I know we already had Duquesne handle business against BYU, but anything else out there, even higher seeds that you're looking at to win in the round of 64?
Not really.
Not really. You don't know how to pick your spots, like, with the upsets, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm terrible at it. I mean, I think most of these teams suck, you know? Like, that's just the way I feel. Like, Oregon is an 11 seed, for example, but they're favored over, so it's not an upset in that regard.
Over South Carolina.
You know, like, I could see UAB beating San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, but that's not like a huge upset.
Yeah, well, 12-5 line, it doesn't even feel like it.
Like, I mean, Charleston over Alabama might be one.
Right, 13-4. What about McNeese State? Are you like me where you try to avoid the trendy stuff unless it's just like way too in your face? Because McNeese State is the trendiest of trendy, because Gonzaga was definitely overseeded. I think we can agree on that. They're probably more of an 8-9 seeded team this year. They ended up getting a 5 because of Mark Few and what he's accomplished in the past. Like, do you buy into McNeese State over Gonzaga in any way, shape, or form?
I could see it. I mean, McNeese is legit, and Will Wade's a coach who's done it and gotten to Sweet 16s before, so I think his team will be prepared. I like them against the spread a little bit more than I like them to win the game, though. You know what I mean? I don't know if they can win the game, but Gonzaga's not some juggernaut. I mean, they have some very suspect guard play at times. So, you know, if you bring it to them and you bring the fight to them, they can fold.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, and I think that's going to be the game plan. So I like them against the spread. I don't know if they win, but definitely think it's going to be a close game.
Speaking of which, Mark Few, since Tommy Lloyd went to Arizona, that's gone downhill year by year. Like, every single year, it's been lower and lower results. Is that going to be a problem heading into the future here? I know he's still recruiting relatively well, but he's not getting the you know, foreign recruits as much. They're going to Arizona at this point because Tommy Lloyd has just a corner on the market there. But Gonzaga, like, their future, how do you feel about it with Mark Few and the way things have been trending?
I mean, honestly, man, it's pretty, you know, ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous how many straight tournaments they've made.
Of course.
I mean, like, well, they haven't missed one since 99. I mean, we miss one every year here.
Right.
I mean, that's just another year for Memphis at this point. You know, so I respect the piss out of it. I don't know how you can't. And they still have, you know, been relevant and maintained relevant in an NIL era. Mm-hmm. I think because Gonzaga has the tradition that it has, that it'll always have the money to get players. And we know, like, this was like a down-ish year for Gonzaga. Like, there was a lot of doubt as to whether they would make the tournament this year. And they were a 5 seed. Like, Mark Hughes, incredible. This team is not overwhelming with talent at all. They play hard. They're well coached, but that's what Gonzaga is. So, no, I mean, I think he's going to be fine. I mean, it, you know, probably not the year, you know, it's not the best year Gonzaga will ever have. But, I mean, I would do a lot, Dave, for Memphis to be a 5 seed.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's just there's been a trend down since Tommy Lloyd left. We can't ignore that, right? We can't act like there has not been a trend down since Tommy Lloyd went to Arizona, right?
I mean, they did go to the Elite Eight last year.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, where you think, you know, but, I mean, that's pretty damn good in my book. I mean, it's a challenge, and, you know, obviously Tommy was huge for that program, but I don't know. I'd say, you know, Elite Eight, 5 seed next year, you know, they're right. Surviving over there.
Yeah, no, I get you. Now, I was having this conversation with Brad because he was on the show yesterday and Connor was out. But what about Tony Bennett at Virginia? I still think he's a great coach. Obviously, he has his style, and it can wear on you. And I don't know how much there's you know, recruits out there that want to play that style consistently. And he was a guy that, you know, when he won a national championship, he had 2 or 3 year guys, maybe 4 year guys. He's a big developer. What do you think about his style? I mean, this is since the national championship year, he's made the tournament 4 out of 5 years, but he hasn't gotten past the first round.
Yeah, Yeah, see, now that's one. That's one where it's a little bit more.
Right.
Where is this going? Because that style is so disgusting. You know, they haven't really even had success with it. It's like I can put up with anything aesthetically if it's winning at a high clip. You know, I mean, that was really the story of the grit and grind Grizzlies. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that was not a fun team to watch from a, you know, from an aesthetic NBA fan perspective, but we liked it because they won a lot of games. They won 55 games. They got to the Western Conference Finals. But when you have that style and you don't win, it's tough. And if you're a player, why on earth of all the spots you could go, would you want to go to Virginia? I mean, that's the challenge. And yeah, I think Tony's going to have to decide: do I want to modernize this to where, you know, I can keep up the talent, or am I, you know, which is, look, national title, like, man, you got it. A lot of teams would kill for that. But now what?
Yeah, you don't see him modernizing or changing his scheme, right? Like, that's
very
not in
unlikely.
The books.
I think most coaches would rather just call it, you know. It's not like he needs money. It's not like he, you know, I mean, he's had a great career. He's been there for a long time, you know. And if he ever wanted to get back into coaching someday, I'm sure he could. But, yeah, like, he's going to have to either do that, I think, or say, you know what, I can't compete for championships in this day and age. And so, you know, just like the way of Coach K and others, you know, you just call it a career and move on to the next thing. So we'll see. But that's kind of how I see it going for sure.
Does it say anything about the ACC that was the third team? That was the third place team in the regular season? I mean, the ACC has been trending down for quite a while.
Yes. The ACC is a joke. And New Mexico as the 11 is a 2.5-point favorite over Clemson and Memphis tomorrow. You know, that says a lot. That says a lot that the Mountain West is, you know, regarded higher than the ACC this year. Now, look, Duke and it's the same as it ever was. Duke and Carolina are going to carry the weight, but there's not much when you get past those two. And you know, Virginia plays a big role in that, right? There's no question about it. They just haven't been the same. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest didn't make the tournament. Clemson's going to probably be a one and done. Yeah, they got to improve that league. There's no question about it.
Yep. Now, talking with John Martin at JohnMartin929 on X, Daily Memphian, college sports columnist, also Field of 68. He does some work there. And also he's on Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. You already heard him today. When it comes to SMU, Rob Lanier got fired today. That was somewhat surprising, but now that you know they're headed to the ACC, that's the decision they're making. They want a bigger name coach. They want to probably spend a whole lot of money, find a bigger name coach, and hopefully compete in the ACC. And they didn't think Rob Lanier was going to be that guy. And I think people when they talk about this, yeah, it's surprising, but he did lose six of the last seven games. They were trending in a very bad direction by the end of the year.
Yeah, they were. You're exactly right. I don't know what they expect there.
Right.
I don't know who they think they're going to get. I think they probably will be humbled because it's still you can throw out whatever money you want to throw. It's still a bad job in a really tough conference. It's not bad in that it pays well and you have facilities. It's bad in that there's no tradition there. And so it's difficult, you know, to come in and all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, just turn it all around. We're going to NCAA terms all the time. No, but again, anybody will do anything if the price is right. And I think that's clearly what they're banking on. My guess is they will be a bit, rudely awoken, but we shall see.
Yeah. Now, also, we have an open job at Louisville, and Scott Drew said he's going to remain at Baylor. That was the announcement I saw put out by Field of 68 yesterday, somewhere you work for. Who the hell is going to take that Louisville job? And also, here's the other part of it. I know that Kenny Payne, when he got fired, he was like, you know, the woe is me thing, kind of playing the victim. I needed a few years, even though in this day and age, especially at Louisville, with the resources that are given to you, you can't ask for a few years. You need to really make it happen. But this next coach, given that they have won four games and eight games in back-to-back years, how much time do you think they'll get, whoever gets that job?
My guess is it's Dusty Mays to turn down, and I think he'll do well. You know, I mean, I think he'll come in and we, you know, my, it's kind of like the way I looked at Fuente. Like, if you come into Memphis and do it at Memphis, and if you go into FAU and do it at FAU, you can probably pretty much do it anywhere.
Yeah.
I know that Fuente's results at Virginia Tech weren't good enough for them, and I'm sure if he could, he'd do some things over. But, I mean, there's no denying the guy was just an amazing basketball coach, right? I mean, or he's football coach, excuse me. And I think the same is true of Dusty May. Like, that place had no tradition. He started it. He invented it. So, yeah, I think if he ends up taking that job, that he'll do an incredible job, for their standards, and they'll be happy. I mean, I think after Chris Mack and Kenny Payne, I mean, any competence whatsoever will feel really good.
But do they get time? Will he get time? That's the thing. Louisville is not historically a place where you get a bunch of time, right?
You just don't want to be cycling through guys.
Right.
I think that's the, you got to at some point say, I think it's one of those deals where he doesn't have to need time, but I think that like anything else, he'll get 2 to 3 years to show that he's got something cooking. And, like any other job, if you're not producing, they'll let you go.
Yeah. Now, on the Memphis front, what does Penny have to do this offseason? Obviously, recruit guys that actually fit his defensive scheme, not get caught up with the shiny objects and all the stats. I get all that. But outside of that, man, I one thing that really sort of interests me about what goes on behind closed doors there is the Jonathan Pierre. He gets in the transfer portal. He says it was chaotic. It doesn't feel like they'll have a whole bunch of pillars of the program. One thing that just strikes me about Penny and the job he's done, John, and I'm hoping you can speak to this, it just feels like the program is not built. He's trying to team build every year, but it just feels like there's no real non-negotiables, no real pillars of the program that these guys can lean on at this particular moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of things, man, and you laid them out for the most part. I mean, I think Penny has to understand that it's not an NBA program and you can't operate it like that. You can't just say, I told the guys what to do and I expect them to go out there and do it. I mean, it's really just not that simple. You have to babysit in a way in college basketball that he has to decide if he wants to do or not. I definitely think that they haven't done as good of a job in identifying the multi-year transfer guys that not only will come here, but will be able to contribute and play. I think that was the idea with Pierre, but you're talking about a guy that was Division II.
Right.
And it's a big jump up from Division II to Memphis. So I think that's just the key, right? Like, the key is identifying those guys, investing, and giving them, a real crack, right? Giving them a real crack at getting on the floor and having something to be excited about for the next year and some continuity. I mean, it's really that simple, because you can't just start over every year and expect to get the results that people here expect, and certainly not know that he himself expects. So we'll see if, he adjusts, but that's definitely the challenge.
Another thought that I've been thinking about, too, that I can't quite shake is, it's the old sort of cliche of, like, when you are the best at what you do and you were one of the best players out there, you expect your players to be able to understand that, and maybe you're not the best coach in the world because of that. It feels like there's a little bit of that with Penny, where he feels like that defensive identity that he wants to create, he feels like he knows better than all the players he has. And sure, he probably does know a whole lot better than the players that joined this year in particular. But there did come a point this year where you realized they couldn't play defense. They couldn't latch on to that defensive identity, and he still wanted to win his way, regardless of what it ended up looking like. And they ended up losing his way as well. Do you think there's some of that as well, where he just needs to find a way to adjust in the middle of the year? I the good versus great coach conversation, where good coaches they get personnel to fit their scheme. Great coaches will get whatever talented players they can on the open market, and then they'll see what they do well and then mold their scheme to them. I feel like Penny fits in that first category.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need me, man. I mean, you got it, bro. I don't really know how much I can add to that. It's just it's all an off-season of, great adjustments and again, recognizing where you're weak, recognizing where you have shortcomings, and being willing to change them. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he will, but that's what it's got to be.
Man, you just got to hope. You just got to hope with him, right? You just got to hope, because the words and the actions don't match. And sometimes the words are not the words you want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. But again, that was raw. That was a raw situation. So I'll give him a chance over the, over the course of an off season.
Yes, sir. I hear you. Well, I'll let you get back to it, brother. Appreciate you hopping on.
Hey, man, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. That is John Martin at JohnMartin929. He works for Field of 68. He also does Jason and John every day here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And he's the college sports columnist over at the Daily Memphian. Make sure you follow all of his work at those various places.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.